The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
This is not, well, there's never a good time to have a DUI in this day and age. I've said it recently. We've covered Patrick Mahomes Sr. facing felony DUI, third offense, up to 10 years. There's no excuse for it. We're all carrying around a device that has a button on it that allows us to summon a car anytime, anyplace, anywhere. Devondre Sweat, formerly of the University of Texas, arrested for DUI at 2:12 p.m. Eastern, or not Eastern, local time on Sunday. He's a projected day two pick. I understand that when you consume alcohol, your brain becomes impaired, but you have to be really impaired to not realize there's an easier way to get to where I'm going. And I think people just decide to roll the dice in that setting. I'll be fine. You might not be fine, and somebody outside of your vehicle or somebody else in your vehicle might not be fine if you can't operate this multiple thousand-pound machine made of steel in the proper way. It just astounds me today. You don't have to hitchhike. You don't have to call anybody. You just pick up your damn phone and hit a button, and somebody will come get you. When in doubt, press that button.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it definitely is. It's definitely going to hurt Devondre Sweat. That's what stinks. This is a guy that, you know, I think needed some positive stuff for him as far as the draft is concerned, right? I mean, he was a guy that kind of started out, hey, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Oh, he's going to go in the first round. You know, I think people started to unpack his film a little bit and were like, wait, there's no way he should have been the Big 12 Defensive Player, and he's not a first rounder. So that hurt. He goes to the Senior Bowl. He doesn't want to weigh in, right? Oh, gosh, really big guy who now is scared to weigh in. You know that's going to scare teams, right, Mike? I mean, oh, no, now they're going, wait, this is kind of guy like he has one bad week and all of a sudden, right, his body's out of control and he can't move the same way and whatever else. That didn't help, you know. Goes to the combine, has a pretty good showing, does all that, but then you have this on top of everything. Yeah, this is now you go, well, I hope you go day two, because now you might have got pushed into day three with this right here, and that's where it'll hurt Devondre Sweat.
Now, this becomes a basic question of whether or not he can exercise good judgment at all times. You're 3 weeks from the draft. There's never a good time for something like this. It should never happen. But to have it happen as you're in the final days before someone is going to pick you, hopefully as high as possible, this isn't the thing to do. And the other side of it as well, you know, usually the excuse given when they pull someone over that they suspect of DUI is I had a couple beers or I had one beer, you know, it's some low amount. When you're 366, to get to the point where you would be running afoul of the 0.08% BAC. You've all seen those charts, and it's all driven by, your BAC is driven by your body size and your weight. Now, how you tolerate it is differently. Some people can have one drink and they're loopy, even if their BAC would not be in excess of the minimum. To get to 0.08, if you're 366 pounds, that's a lot of beers or whatever it was he was drinking. That's a lot of alcohol in a 366-pound body to get the concentration of it in your bloodstream at 0.08%. So he was, Chris, he was pounding them to be over the limit at 366.
Yeah. I mean, pounding them in the afternoon, right? That's not going to help them either, honestly. Really, teams would probably be like, they'd probably rather that happened at 2 a.m. in the morning rather than going, wait, he was drinking like that at noon or 11:30 he started before that? Yeah, not a good look for him. Definitely not. You know, it stinks. And yeah, now he's going to have to answer these questions. And I would expect, yeah, this is going to hurt him for sure. It's going to fall down for the reasons you said. It's just a litmus test of, wait, okay, wait, how real is he about his job and his profession, and how is he taking this on? Wait, he must have, you know, got out of shape or got too much weight before the Senior Bowl. That's one blinking light, and now here we are again with another blinking light. It's going to scare teams that wanted to maybe take him late in the second, early third round.
Well, what it does, it sparks an avalanche of questions that he's now going to have to face.
Right.
The questions we have are questions teams will have. How did you even get in a position where you were driving over the limit at 2:12 in the afternoon on a Sunday? Where were you? How much did you drink? And see, if he better get smart here quickly, too, because if you try to play games here, that's going to make your stock go even farther south.
Right.
Because it's undeniable. If he is over the limit of 0.08, he has had a lot of alcohol to get his body to that point. It's not something that just spontaneously happens if you take a sip of beer. It is a physiological reality of how alcohol is processed in the bloodstream and how much of it affects you based upon how much you weigh. The bigger you are, the more it takes, period. So he better get today, or yesterday, ideally, his story, hopefully the truth, ironed out and prepared to answer these questions, because the questions are going to come. Anybody that was thinking about drafting him owes it to themselves now to ask those questions. Because I remember there was a player back almost 20 years ago. Remember Corin Robinson, top 10 pick of the Seahawks?
Yeah, wide receiver, yeah.
And he had some... Yeah. He had, like, he was with the Vikings, and he was in this high-speed car chase, and there were some off-field issues, and there was a DUI at some point. And somebody asked Ted Thompson, the GM of the Packers, once they gave him what was his most recent second chance, basically, why are you bringing somebody to town that could kill somebody? I mean, it was kind of a crass, blunt question, but think about it. These teams present themselves as, you know, responsible members of the community. If you've got a guy who was driving drunk, allegedly, at 2:12 in the afternoon on a Sunday and weighs 366 pounds and had to drink a hell of a lot of booze to get to that point, you better do your due diligence and make sure you're not bringing to town somebody who's going to do that on the streets of your community.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to sell yourself as a corporate citizen that is responsible in the community whose name you carry on your team, you owe it to whoever ends up on the wrong side of that exchange, potentially, to be damn sure it's not going to happen in your town.
Yeah, that's right. That's where we get into part of, like, hey, they built a good culture, right? They got guys that fit their culture. That's that conversation there. And yes, that's, again, and it's not only what you're talking about, human decency to the community, thinking about that. It's, wait, are we going to make an investment in this guy and actually pay him? Are we going to depend on him to be our backup defensive tackle this year? I don't know. Can we depend on that? Because what if he does something like this week? So that's, again, as we always know, you know, NFL coaches, GMs, front office, they're pretty conservative people by nature. And yeah, they're not going to love this. It's their own butts on the line here when you associate with something like this. And that's going to scare some of these GMs to death with the situation.
Corin Robinson, while on his second chance with the Vikings, training camp 2006, DUI with a reported 0.11%. And that happened after a high-speed chase in which he was driving 100 miles an hour in a 55, trying to get away from police and get back to training camp. So the Packers signed him after that. That incident is what sparked the question because, you know, you're talking about the Ferrari zipping through town, the Porsches zipping around. You got somebody who's .11 driving 100 miles an hour in a 55, you're going to potentially kill somebody.
That's
and it's
right.
a fair question. If you don't fully understand exactly what it is that caused Devondre Sweat to do what he did and how that happened, you're putting that person in your community. You're not legally responsible, but you're morally responsible at some level for adding that person to a community where if you don't do your homework and understand that it's not, and you're fully confident it's not going to happen again, you're potentially getting somebody in your community killed. And that's not melodramatic. That's reality. That's reality. Because it happens. People get killed by drunk drivers still all the time, even with the increased sensitivity to it, with the fact that anybody who wants can get a ride wherever they want. People still do it. And it takes people's lives all the time. On that same note, Chris, you know, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Rashee Rice, the Chiefs receiver.
Yeah.
There was an item in the Dallas Morning News over the weekend that charges may be coming soon. You've got the street racing component with injury, which has potentially 2 to 10 years. And we always hear the worst case scenario. It always ends up less than that, but there's still a potential criminal punishment there. You've got leaving the scene of the accident with injury. You've got civil responsibility. You've got potential suspension by the NFL under the personal conduct policy. So there's still more to come. We at least know that Rashee Rice was driving. We know that now. We still don't know why he left the scene. They found a small amount of marijuana in the Lamborghini. And I mean, in most jurisdictions now, who the hell cares? In Texas, it's still illegal. But I mean, who the hell cares about less than an ounce of marijuana being found in a car? The bigger issue is the racing and leaving the scene. And there will be a consequence. We'll just wait and see how it's all processed. And I think it was smart for him to pivot toward, I accept full responsibility for everything, because his best chance for not a great outcome, but the best outcome is to be contrite, truly contrite, and take responsibility and not fight it.
That's right. You don't need that. And the Chiefs don't want that. The NFL doesn't want that. They don't want to be made, you know, a spectacle. And then what you find out you're lying, they're going to come down even harder on you, both sides there. So that's where you got to be careful. Good for him for admitting it, coming out, doing that. You know, as I think I said to you on a text on Saturday or whatever, you know, that's a risky thing. By all due accounts, watching that video, yes, we saw it looked like he jumped over, you know, the middle console from the driver's seat, you know, getting out of this Lamborghini SUV. So we kind of put that together, let alone, Mike, I think I sent to you on text, here in the Northeast, right, you have, like, the easy pass lanes, the old toll booths, right? There's cameras there. Like, I would think somewhere on a highway, the Dallas police has a camera where they could maybe get a picture that could kind of piece together, like, ooh, it looks like the guy wearing all black is driving the car and in the driver's seat. So you got to be careful about stuff like that, too. Listen, this is the first right step as far as trying to correct the situation, and we'll see where it goes from there.
He was in checkmate, bottom line.
Definitely, right.
From the video that we've shown and tried to kind of subpruder it to a commonsensical solution, to your idea that there are other cameras out there. Cameras are everywhere now.
Yep.
Without all this stuff, you wonder. 30 years ago, you wonder how this would have been resolved and if they would have conclusively known he was driving and if everybody just would have exercised their right to remain silent and there never would have been full consequences. I think the bottom line is he was in checkmate. He took some time to accept the fact that he was in checkmate. He considered whether he had any other potential moves. He realized he didn't. The only move at that point is to declare defeat and hope that you get lenience, hope that you get some degree of you know, favorable treatment by showing remorse and contrition, and hopefully it's real and not strategic. We'll see how it plays out. But the Chiefs need to be thinking about how, and who knows? Again, you hear these 2 to 10. We've been, he can face up to 10 years. Yeah, what's he going to get? 10 days at the most? If that, house arrest on weekends? I mean, so.
But what'll happen the NFL way? What do you think? I mean, are we looking at a thing where he gets suspended 4 games? Is it going to be that type of thing? Is this incident warrant that type of, you know, penalty there in the whole bylaws in the NFL, Mike? What do you think there?
First offense DUI is a 2-game suspension now, barring circumstances that could cause it to go up or down. But the baseline is 2. There isn't a specific formula for this type of thing, this extreme street racing, leaving the scene of an accident. But I would just say the mere fact that a DUI, even if there's nobody around, it's a checkpoint. There's no accident. There's no speeding. There's no violation of the rules of the road other than the fact that you're behind the wheel when you shouldn't be. If that gets you 2 games, this has to at least get you 2. At least get you 2. If not 4. The question is, does it get processed before the start of this season, or does it linger? But I think there's enough there. I think this all gets buttoned up, and I think there will be a suspension. If he's not in prison, there will be a suspension, and we won't see him. My guess would be we're not going to see him to start the season. The question is it 2? Is it 4? Is it longer? This is one of those, and this kind of bothers me because, like, he got lucky that nobody got killed.
Yeah.
Obviously, if somebody would have gotten killed, he'd be out for the whole year. And I look at it and I say, and I'm not advocating that he be suspended for a whole year. It's just odd to me that the punishment is driven by the outcome when the behavior is the thing we're trying to deter. We don't want others to do this same thing because it could kill somebody. So when the behavior is something that pulls onto the radar screen the possibility of killing someone, shouldn't the punishment reflect that? Because we're trying to keep people from doing that. Because you'll still do that and say, maybe I'll get lucky and nobody will get killed. No, somebody can still get killed. And we're only going to come down on the hard on the person when someone gets killed. My point is, if it's the behavior you're trying to stop that could lead to somebody getting killed, why is the punishment lesser if somebody doesn't get killed? Does that make any sense at all?
No, I hear you. I know what you're saying. Right. I mean, you know, hey, it's just a flip of the coin that someone didn't get killed there, right? I mean, it is. And of course, yeah, driving fast and doing all that. Hey, we had Henry Ruggs a few years ago in that situation. The NFL doesn't want that. Of course, nobody wants that. Nobody. You know, but yeah, it's a tough one because you go, wait, that was reckless. That's crazy. You could have killed somebody. But at the same time, right, like we've all been young and dumb, all right? We might not have been that crazy right there. I'm not trying to say that, right? I mean, I was crazy. Don't get me wrong. But like driving on the shoulder, you know, as I'm going 100 and trying, like I wasn't that crazy, right? But that's where, hey, it's a fine line of, wait, that was crazy. That endangered people. Okay, but yeah, he's a young kid who really wasn't, you know, it's not malice. It's not like he's doing something to hurt people, right? And that's where it's a tough situation to your point there. It really is. And that's where, yeah, I think the NFL has to be delicate in sending a strong message to go, hey, you're lucky. We don't want this going on anymore. But I don't want the kid's life ruined over this either. And that's where they got to find the fine line here.
And, you know, Pete asked the question of whether or not the Henry Ruggs case will be a factor in all of this. The reality for him is the NFL never had to do anything because
he was
driving
ridiculously
fast and did kill somebody in a horrible way. The young lady burned to death. Her dog burned to death in that accident that Henry Ruggs caused. He's incarcerated. It's not relevant to the NFL. The NFL never had to bang a gavel and say you're suspended a season or 2 seasons or 3 seasons or whatever. So with Rice, that's going to be something. And it gets back to what we were talking about. You know, even though he wasn't in Kansas City, you're still a member of a community wherever you are. And I think the NFL would want its players
went to
be
school
responsible
at SMU.
Members of whatever community they are in.
Right.
And driving that way, even if you're completely sober, driving that way under those circumstances, racing, treating it like it's the latest Need for Speed video game, that is the kind of thing that requires a significant punishment because that is one of the ways that you get the message across. And we've seen, you know, there's been suggestion lately that the personal conduct policy isn't working, which is just a load of shit, frankly. The personal conduct policy works. We don't have to deal with these issues all the time now. Guys aren't getting arrested. Guys aren't getting in trouble like they used to.
Definitely
it was 2007,
not.
As beefed up dramatically by 2014 with Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson. That trifecta to start the season caused the NFL to crank it up even more. This whole concept of paid leave is hanging over every player. Guys are not getting in trouble like they used to. So when something like this happens, That's when the self-styled enforcer needs to kick into gear and do something about it. And again, we're not, I mean, it's unfortunate for Rashee Rice, but there's a lesson here that others need to learn. And they're not going to learn it if they give Rice a pass, if they go easy on him because he admitted to it. The NFL, I think, still needs to be somewhat harsh with him because he could have killed somebody very easily. And he's lucky, and they're lucky, that he didn't.
Yeah, I agreed there. Agreed. And they're going to have to figure that out. Either way, Rashee Rice made the right choice, admitting wrong, go from there, try to get this going and get it done with as quick as possible. Don't make it a big issue or more of a distraction than it needs to be for the NFL or the Chiefs.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, I'm doing this for Pete. He wrote the tease. Will Russell Wilson eclipse his expectations this season?
Aha! I see what you did there.
A solar eclipse edition of something coming up here on PFT Live. We'll be right back.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Obviously, I'm very excited for us to be a part of the room, part of the team. I'm as a quarterback. I was just down there in San Diego with him working out and throwing routes.
Okay.
And so he's been great at talking to guys and starting to build that connection. And he's a great guy. You can tell like the drive and determination that he has to win and come to Pittsburgh and win some playoff games for us, so, which is always great to be a part of. I think he's going to fit our culture in our locker room really well.
Pat Freiermuth singing the praises of new QB1, at least pole position QB1, Russell Wilson. Let's ride, baby. This is what the Steelers have done. This is what they need. They're blowing up the quarterback depth chart and installing Wilson backed up by Justin Fields. They've added Kyle Allen as well to that group. I bet they draft somebody to late rounds if there's somebody they like. Thinking about the future, and Russell Wilson thinking about the present, taking the Steelers back to the place where he once took the Seahawks. So, Chris, it is. What's more likely, solar eclipse edition?
Wow.
Will you be stopping everything you're doing to get a glimpse with the appropriate eyewear of the solar eclipse today?
There's no guarantee. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm going to look out the window and be like, oh, wait, there's the eclipse. I'm not going to, like, look up in the sky and look at the damn sun that way. I will just see how it goes. Like, if I'm, you know, in the midst of watching film and doing my draft stuff and all of that, and my wife is like, hey, come outside, the eclipse, and we have some glasses, I'll go check it out. But I'm not like, oh, I'm gonna have to clear the day here for 2:35 or the p.m. That's when I need to go outside. I'll just see where it goes. I don't care that much, I guess is what I'm saying.
At the risk of yucking their yum,
yeah.
Is that the saying?
Yeah, you got it.
I don't want to
yuck
anyone's yum here.
Yeah.
I don't want to yuck their yum.
Yeah.
If people want to flock to the path of the – They're jacking up the prices at the hotels to Super Bowl levels for all these people that want to see the total 100% eclipse, and it's never going to happen. This is just one of those group mentality things that I naturally resist. Like, this is one where I don't want to be part of the herd. I don't want to get caught up in this. And it causes me to be adamant to the other extreme.
I
don't care about the solar eclipse. Why? Because you're telling me I should. Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? I don't want to wear the ribbon. I don't want to look at the eclipse. I might not even go outside and look at it because you're not supposed to look at it. And I don't have the eyewear because I don't care. I just don't care. It's a coincidence. Oh, the moon and the sun is going to, it's not some cosmic phenomenon. It's not some sign of the end times. It's the way that the world works. Every time you look outside, it's a marvel. It's a cosmic marvel. I remember when there was an eclipse when I was a kid and it was a big deal. And I remember thinking then, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? And it's this dangerous thing you can't look at. Well, then why are you looking at it? Why are you staring upright at it, you dumbass? Man. So anyway,
yeah.
I won't be one of those dumbasses.
We know. Get off your lawn. Yeah. Who are you talking to?
When I talk about somebody looking up and pointing at the eclipse like a dumbass, I'm not referring to any specific dumbass. I'm just saying that's what dumbasses do.
Yeah, I guess. What is it? What's the official eyewear you need, right? Like, your normal sunglasses won't get it done, right? Yeah.
I think that's whoever makes the eyewear is pushing that. Like, I don't even understand why it's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Not that I'm going to try it out. I haven't done the research.
Well, and now you're going to lead people in to just put on it, and why is it dangerous?
I'm just saying.
I mean, there you go.
Mean,
hey, don't listen to those people.
Listen,
I'm a scientist. I'm on Pro Football Talk.
I bet Aaron Rodgers just thinks you rub a little ivermectin on your eyes and you'll be fine.
You might be. He's been immunized. He'll be all right. He might be all right.
All right. All right, let's stop. We're completely off the rails. What's more likely? Solar eclipse, don't be a dumbass and point and look at it edition. What is more likely? Here we go. Who's more likely to eclipse expectations this season? Russell Wilson's in Pittsburgh or Kirk Cousins in Atlanta?
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson to eclipse expectations over Kirk Cousins. First off, I feel like the expectations are higher for Kirk Cousins. That's the biggest thing. And then I feel like with the injury, I'm a little hesitant there, right? I think people are not sure what to expect from Russell Wilson. He's certainly not as shiny and like a hot button, oh wow, he can turn the team around type of guy right now. And Kirk Cousins is that guy, oddly enough. Right? How weird the world is. But I'm going to go with Russell Wilson just because I feel like the bar's a little bit lower in those expectations.
I think you're right. The expectations are sky high for Kirk Cousins. And did we see the quote there? I saw this last week. The Cousins quote that was pushed by the Atlanta Falcons, "I'm going to be committed to doing everything I can to help us win our world championship." But Chris, you know the first thing I thought, and
Final
analysis, I love Kirk Cousins, but you cannot reconcile "I'm going to be committed to doing everything I can to help us win a world championship" with not working on Tuesdays when you're playing on a Sunday-to-Sunday schedule. I still don't know if that was a bit. I don't know if he was exaggerating, but you can't be hanging out at Brentano's looking for books. You can't be answering fan mail. If you're going to do everything you can to help us win a world championship, the time that you're looking for new books on a Tuesday, the time that you're responding to, Jerry in Alpharetta, that is time that you could be making yourself better acquainted with the next defense, better understanding the offense, doing something like Tom Brady would do, like all the greats would do. No days off, no hours off, no minutes off during football season. So I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. I wonder if somebody's going to ask him, does this mean you're going to work on Tuesdays? I think it's a fair question. I mean, you feel like a jerk asking it, but I think it's a fair question because he's come out and said he doesn't work on Tuesdays the season.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I mean, with this day and age, with what quarterbacks are making and, right, the importance of the position and what we know that the other guys' standard protocol now at the position, Yes, I'm not saying, you know, you don't got to be in the facility grinding for 12 hours on that Tuesday, but, you know, and you might not have to be at the facility at all. But at some point, like, I know even the great ones who didn't go to the facility on Tuesday, it was, wait, I'm going to get on the phone with the coach or the Zoom with the coach, and we're going to go over things for a little while, and then I'm in my home setup going to watch film here. I might not go to the facility. I'm going to do that. And, yeah, I think it's a perfectly legitimate question for this day and age in the NFL.
All right, closer to totality this season, the Patriots defense or the Panthers defense? In other words, which defense is more likely to be complete? And by the way, Kyle Duggar has signed a 4-year deal with the Patriots. He had the transition tag, which gave any other team the opportunity to sign him with the Patriots having a right to match. No one did, so he stays put on a 4-year deal. Derek Brown and the Panthers agree to a 4-year extension, reportedly $96 million with $63 million guaranteed. Which of those two defenses closer to being more complete, being more total in 2024?
I mean, they're both great defenses last year, and we know that. I feel like if I'm going to pick one, I'm probably going to go with the Patriots still, though. I am. Again, the Panthers losing Frankie Louvu, right? Losing Brian Burns in trade. I got to kind of see it first a little bit there. You know, they've lost a few significant players in free agency where, you know, the Patriots, I don't feel that way. And it's going to be Matt Judon coming back from injury. And it's, you know, they seem like they pretty much got everybody still there intact. I mean, great contracts by both guys there. I mean, that's the first thing. Derek Brown is without question one of those guys that's in that conversation with Dexter Lawrence, Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Christian Wilkins, right? He's a special football player. So good job by getting it done. And then Kyle Duggar with the Patriots, Mike, we know he's good too. It's such an in vogue position, and he's good at it, right? That linebacker safety hybrid type of football player. Everybody's looking for that guy in the NFL, and the Patriots got a damn good one in Duggar. So, you know, I like both of those deals for both of those teams, but I'm going to go with the Patriots there, Mike.
I agree with you as well, and there's just enough continuity there. You know, with Gerard Mayo learning from Bill Belichick, they work on personnel acquisition and development a little bit. They're going to be better. The Panthers are just hot mess everywhere. I have no faith. Panthers are going to have to prove it to me on the field and off the field by not throwing drinks on people. Okay, some facts about the, you know, I got to get it in at least once a week. Here's why you don't look at the sun during an eclipse. Normally, you don't look at the sun anyway. It's bright enough, though, that you squint and your pupils contract, protecting your eyes from the most damaging rays. During an eclipse, it's sufficiently dim that your pupils don't contract, thereby allowing the harmful rays to go into the eye and can cause irreparable damage.
Yeah, I've seen it.
There are cases of people's vision being damaged directly as a result of looking into the sun during an eclipse. So do not be a dumbass and point up to it and look at it. Again, I am not referring to any particular dumbass when I say that. By the way, some more facts, some more solar eclipse facts. There's a solar eclipse roughly once every 18 months, although it's always across a large swath of the Earth, and it's usually in places where there aren't people. 2033, Alaska. The next one in the lower 48 states will be 2044. I will be quite old by then, but that's only Montana and North Dakota. 2045 is the next one to cross the entire USA from Northern California to Florida. 2099 will be the next total solar eclipse in West Virginia. So I'll be waving.
Deader than a doornail at that point.
Where I am.
I know exactly
where I'll be.
Well, yeah, you'll be in the grave.
Down the hill.
Me and Aaron Rodgers will be, you know, taking a leak on your grave, watching the eclipse. It's going to be awesome.
You'll be dead in 2099 too, there, Bucko.
Okay.
And he will be too. We'll all be dead by 2099. What year is it? 2024. That's 75 years away.
Yeah.
It's safe to say that probably anyone listening or watching right now, good chance you ain't going to be here for 2099. And if you are, you're probably going to be in a condition where you're not even going to know what's going on when the
kids might be listening right now. So screw you for that comment. They might make it
75,
to that. Okay?
75, 88. Yeah. Your son will be 88.
Yes, yes, right. I know, that's crazy. Yes, maybe he can. He's got that good Italian genes. Maybe he can make it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. It's a reference to what you were going to do to my grave. He can do it instead.
Yeah, we'll tell him to.
Oh, I said I wasn't going to say it. All right. Okay, let's take a break. A former Vikings general manager has a warning for the current general manager of the Vikings. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
I think when Minnesota went and traded to get that second first-round pick, they're setting themselves up to go get a quarterback. They don't have a choice. So hopefully Arizona is the team, and it sounds like it could be J.J. McCarthy. I know, Ryan, when we were out there on the Pro Day tour just talking to some people, I heard a lot of things that Minnesota thought he had an excellent Pro Day up there. It fits exactly what Kevin O'Connell wants to do from an offensive standpoint. But they're not going to get him for just the first two-round picks. They're going to have to throw in their first-round pick 2025 plus some more draft capital to do what they have to do to go up and get it. If you have to have one, then you're going to overpay to get one. I think he's going to be a good pro, but I think they're going to overpay if they have to go up and get him.
That's Rick Spielman, former general manager of the Vikings, who put together a great team while he was there, giving a warning to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Kevin O'Connell, the rest of the Vikings brain trust as they get ready for what appears to be, I mean, they capped the week in which they lost Kirk Cousins by adding another first-round pick, 23rd overall. They're clearly planning to make a move up to get somebody. Spielman thinks it's J.J. McCarthy and that they're going to have to give up a lot to get there. And, hey, we know this is a year where if you're going to make that move, you are going to give up a lot because you're getting a quarterback and there's other teams that are interested. Whoever it is that moves out is going to end up with a bunch of extra lottery tickets this year, next year, and maybe the year after.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. It is. I mean, by all due accounts, it looks like the Vikings are going to do something aggressive there. And I think Rick Spielman brings up a really interesting point, right? It's something that I would say I would agree with, right? Pete would tell you. I've talked about it on the podcast a little bit. I got people asking me that all the questions like that all the time. But I think it's also, too, like a thought around football, right, is a little bit to what Spielman is talking about. They're in a spot where they're a little desperate. They got rid of Kirk Cousins, who's damn good, right? Now they're feeling the pressure. There's a little bit of a bullseye on them here with this situation. And, yeah, I think in most, you know, years, to the point that Rick's talking about there, I don't think most people look at J.J. McCarthy and go, oh, he's a third or fourth pick of the draft type of talent. He's not that. But it's a year where, hey, you know, there's a bunch of teams that need some quarterbacks. And they not only need them, they need them bad. And they got a team that's kind of like, oh, we're not bad right now. We need somebody that can come in and play. And I think that's added to the value of the situation. But what we know normally as that, you know, again, top tier, top five, top six, top eight type of quarterback. Yeah, does he fit that mold? You know, maybe not. But I also sit there and go, like you've always heard me say, you know, does he have more physical ability? Is he a better thrower than guys like Blake Bortles or Christian Ponder, who were drafted in the top 10? Definitely. Tua, he's a better athlete and a way stronger arm than Tua. So, you know, when you look at it that way, I go, well, yeah, then why can't he be in the top five, top eight, whatever?
The Vikings did not blow a top 10 pick on Christian Ponder.
No, it was a 12? It was a 11?
12 pick. It was
yeah,
a 12.
Sorry.
12. Almost. Hey. At least they didn't pass on J.J. Watt to take a quarterback that year.
Yeah.
The Titans did. The Jaguars did. The Vikings did not, and the Titans and Jaguars had to deal with J.J. Watt for the bulk of his career in Houston because they passed on him. Okay, so let's do NFC North draft needs. The Vikings cannot leave the draft, which begins in only 17 days, without addressing what?
Well, I think we know, like, all right, quarterback is certainly up there. I'm not going to say that, though. To me, it starts, I would look at, like, interior. That's where I would look at. You heard me during the break. The guard situation's a little weird. You got great tackles there in Minnesota. You can really protect and do all that. You know, the guard situation, No, right now. I mean, it's not very good, let alone there's not enough bodies there. So I could see that certainly, you know, being a part of the conversation in the first few rounds. We need to get a guard. The other one I would say, too, Mike, just looking at your favorite team's roster, right, is your defensive line, right? Your defensive line. Not only maybe a defensive end for the future. I know you got Greenard and Van Ginkle will be able to rush the passer a little and do all that. But even D-tackle, right? It's an underwhelming group. It's not, and there's nobody there where you go, ooh, he's a handful in the middle. You go, ooh, he's good. He's good. Oh, I like him. But no difference maker. I could see that being a part of the equation as well, Mike.
Yeah, the Vikings offensively, they assume that Kevin O'Connell will get the most out of any quarterback they give him. And defensively, I think their attitude is Brian Flores is going to take whatever pieces we give him and whip him into something that works. So it's not as much of a priority. I feel like it's not as it could be or should be with other teams. But I agree with you. Defensive line is something they need to work on. The best Vikings teams have had at least one badass defensive lineman. When the offense was go-go gadget, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, they had John Randall. In the years before that, they had Chris Dolman. They had Keith Millard. They had the Purple People Eaters. They had Danielle Hunter the past 7 or 8 years. I'm concerned about their front seven, and they're not going to have a lot of opportunities to beef it up, especially if they take 11 and 23, package together, move up, throw in more stuff to go get the quarterback that they nevertheless believe is going to transform the team. They are of the mind right now, I firmly believe, that a franchise quarterback is their key to doing more than just competing for the playoffs and making it to the divisional round once every 5-7 years. They want to have a team that competes and contends all the time, and they need a quarterback, a high-end quarterback to do it. The Chicago Bears, who will get that high-end quarterback in Caleb Williams with the first overall pick in the draft, most likely, can't leave the draft without addressing what?
Well, again, this is a team that's got a pretty damn good roster. Right? That's the first thing I would say right off the bat. I don't think there's any area of their team that I look at and go, ooh, wow, like they're desperate here, right? I think a receiver maybe added to the group, certainly up in that conversation, right? And then I think the other thing I'd probably look at more than anything is just another quality defensive lineman, whether that's a defensive tackle or a defensive end to go with Montez Sweat. That would probably be what I look at. Right, they got some unproven commodities at defensive tackle. I think they're going to rely on second-year Jervon Dexter there to take over and shoulder the load. They got some guys that are good players, been around the league a little bit, but no difference maker there. Again, like we talk about. So I, wide receiver, defensive lineman, whether that's another pass rusher or defensive tackle. Those are the ones I think, Mike, that jump out to me more than anything, and maybe a left tackle. Maybe they look at that, but I don't think Braxton Jones is all that bad at left tackle for them to where they'll be desperate to make a move at that position.
Look at that. Three picks after they used the first overall selection, 975-122. I would trade down from 9 if I could and get more lottery tickets, especially if there's a quarterback frenzy that's going on and somebody's trying to come up and get the fourth or fifth or even sixth guy in round one, if it just goes completely crazy with quarterbacks. I would go offensive line, protect my investment, get more offensive linemen, center, guard, tackle, whatever. I want to have more than five guys that I can count on, and I want to have two or three others that maybe I use on a regular basis. Have that rotation to counter the rotation on the defensive side of the ball, because I want to keep Caleb Williams, who isn't 6'1". He's a little smaller than people realize. I want to keep him as healthy as I possibly can. And we saw what he had to deal with, not having a lot of help around him at USC. I want to make sure that's never an issue with him in Chicago. Let's take a break. We'll look at the draft needs for the Packers and the Lions when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this. All right, there are the Packers' selections in the 2024 draft, and they have plenty. Multiple picks in rounds 2, 3, 6, and 7. 11 in all. The Packers can't leave this draft without addressing what, Christopher?
It's more about, you look at the NFC North and you go, wow. What's these teams? That's the first thing that jumps out to me. There's just not a lot of things you need as far as any of them. I mean, the Packers, there's a reason they had the 49ers on the rope in the divisional playoff game and really should have won the game. Damn, they're good. You look at it and you go, well, I don't know. I mean, they could add a tackle, right? Offensive lineman to the group in some capacity. Maybe a middle linebacker. No Devondre Campbell. Quay Walker, their first-round pick, maybe hasn't lived up to total expectations there. But, damn, they got two first-round corners. They got Xavier McKinney at safety. They got Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Lucas Van Ness, Kenny Clark up front. The O-line's pretty good. We know about the running back, the receivers. I mean, damn, the Packers are really well built. So that's kind of where I look at it, Mike. Probably something offensive line-ish or middle linebacker.
But what would you be thinking if you're a backup on the Packers and they have 11 picks in the draft? If you're a veteran backup making decent money, you get a little nervous about how this is going to play out in the aftermath of the draft, because what's going to happen is 11 new guys come in and some of the guys currently on the team are going to be gone. But I'm with you. There aren't many glaring weaknesses here. I'm a little nervous about the running back position because they went all in for Josh Jacobs, and if he gets banged up, then there's A.J. Dillon, who has not been spectacular. Do you develop somebody young at that position to kind of take over in a couple years? And when in doubt, I go back to the offensive line. Let's go back to the boring position that keeps your quarterback upright and allows him to flourish. They found their guy in Jordan Love. I would just say get better offensive linemen. David Bakhtiari's out. Not that he has been much for them in recent years, but I would want to have bodies there to keep Jordan Love.
Yeah, they
healthy,
lost Runyon, right, in free agency, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure they lost Runyon, I want to say. Didn't he go to the Giants, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, I would think that would be something along the lines there. But, yeah, I mean, we're both saying that the Packers' damn team is well-built.
The defending division champions, the Detroit Lions, they can't leave the draft, which they will be hosting without what, Chris?
Well, they've done a great job in free agency. They have. I mean, you look at them and you go, like, wow. I mean, we know they needed secondary players. They did a great job of trading for Carlton Davis, signed Amik Robertson from the Raiders, who's an under-the-radar, damn good cover corner. You know, they got DJ Reader as another run stopper up front, right? Again, another team you look at and go, wow, they're well-built everywhere. I mean, they really are. It's really just like, you know, adding a little, you know, icing on the cake when you look at it. An edge rusher, I think, is the biggest thing I look at.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
across from yes. Aiden Hutchinson, right? I know they signed Marcus Davenport, but we know he hasn't been anything to write home about to this point. You know, maybe some offensive linemen for the future. They're good right now. They don't need to worry about offensive line necessarily, like, at this second. They got Graham Glasgow. They got Zeitler, right? We know their tackles are damn good. They got a damn good center, so their O-line's good, but maybe for the future. But I think it's the edge guy across from Aiden Hutchinson. They get another good pass rusher. You go, oh, my gosh, Detroit, like, wow. I mean, they're, like, unbelievably built. Watch out for them.
When the Vikings signed Marcus Davenport last year, my son's first reaction was, why? And I went, well, he was a first-round pick. He's got untapped potential. He's not going to play more than six games. And he was in four games with three starts. And when he left for the Lions, my son's reaction was, all due respect, good. So we'll see what Marcus Davenport does. But I agree with you. They need another pass rusher. You can't assume this guy's going to go wire to wire. There have been issues that have kept him from playing.
Right.
And if you're not aware of that, you're going to pay for it because you're not going to have the depth you need. All right, let's take a break. When we return, in honor of Caitlin Clark, we will draft the NFL people with the biggest weight on their shoulders this coming season. That's next here on PFT Live.
George Kittle, I hope you're hearing this. Like, this is going to be a dub.
Wow. Do you have a bet with George?
Yeah, we have a bet. So whoever loses has to wear the team
okay.
jersey to a game, not just the work to the game.
Like, oh, you gotta
wear like
pregame,
game day fit. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So it's gonna be documented.
Yeah, for sure.
They know how.
Deebo Samuel and George Kittle had a bet, and the outcome of the South Carolina Iowa women's national championship basketball game. Deebo Samuel from South Carolina, George Kittle from Iowa. So Kittle has to wear South Carolina gear to a game on the walk-in week one outfit. Going to be so clean on you, what Debo had to say to Kittle. That'd be great when it happens. And Kittle will own it. He'll lean into it. I'm surprised he didn't show up at WrestleMania yesterday. Okay, so in honor of Caitlin Clark, who basically carried, all due respect to the rest of her team, she basically carried the Iowa team to the national championship. She carried the sport. She elevated the sport to unprecedented heights. I got to give credit to Don Staley, the South Carolina coach, who stopped during the trophy presentation to point out what Caitlin Clark has done for the sport and will continue to do for the sport. Who are the NFL people? Anyone you want who are carrying that same kind of weight as Caitlin Clark entering 2024 Europe?
Well, I mean, this one's, it's fairly obvious, I think, especially in lieu of, you know, recent events. Josh Allen. I mean, again, we've thought, you know, the last 3-4 years, Josh Allen's had to carry too much of the weight and the burden of the Buffalo Bills as is anyways. I mean, we know that. I mean, again, we're sitting here going, hey, Diggs didn't have 100 yards in the last 12 games of the year, right? Gabe Davis got paid like a number three. And here we are. Wait, Diggs left. Oh, now we're going to see what Josh Allen's really like, even though he's been carrying the team as the best runner and the best passer on the team and the whole offense. But the pressure, I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's real. This is a real thing. And now everybody's going to be watching him even more intently to start the conversation on social media. It was a Diggs or is it Josh Allen? So between that, the pressure on Allen as it is anyways to keep up with Mahomes, the Bills, them continuing to be relevant in the Super Bowl window, I'll go with Allen as the first pick.
We should have made it the Josh Allen Memorial Draft because clearly he is the guy who is the Caitlin Clark of the NFL right now, especially right now when they haven't added any real pieces around him, all due respect to the other pieces around him, but he's the guy carrying the load. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers for a different reason beyond what you said, because the pressure from him is both external and internal. I mean, he's got to prove that he can still play. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy.
Right.
And he's carrying the team. And as he has said, everyone's on the hot seat. So this isn't just aspirational. Let's see how high he can carry him. If he doesn't carry him, everybody's out. He's got everything riding on him. His time with the Jets and everybody else's is all riding on a guy who had 4 snaps last year.
Who you got next? I hear you there. Deshaun Watson. I mean, you know, again, I know it's not been easy for him, certainly. But, yeah, I mean, it's real this year. It's year 3, right? Cleveland's gotten nothing back for their money to this point. They just went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco, right? This is a big year, right? This is the year where it's like, no, there's no more excuses. You know the offense. You've been on the team. It's got to make it work. You got to stay healthy. You got to play. Deshaun Watson.
I'm going with Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell here because we talked about this earlier. There's this assumption that whoever they give him, he's going to make it work. Josh Dobbs, make it work. Kirk Cousins, make it work. Nick Mullins, make it work. Whatever you get, and you might just only get Sam Darnold by the time it's all said and done, you have to make it work. You make it work. And he's just kind of sitting there waiting for whatever they do, and he'll be expected
Thanks.
To be the one.
Thanks, GM, for giving red my quarterback.
After this, the guy he wanted to keep, so he says. More PFT Live right after this. All right, we are drafting the players or anyone in the NFL with the greatest weight on their shoulders in honor of what Caitlin Clark did for Iowa this year. Chris, you're up. Round 3.
All right. I lost my train of thought there. Okay, I'm ready to go. Here's my last pick. I'm going to tie it in with my first pick. Josh Allen? Well, C.J. Stroud, welcome to the club. You know, it is. I look at C.J. Stroud and just go, I think the expectations are going to be sky high for him this year. Right? He's the new guy. He's it, right? My son says he's him. He's a 13-year-old, right? It's so everybody's expecting C.J. Stroud, top 3 quarterback in football type of play. Now with Diggs there, we expect the team and him to light up the scoreboard. I think there'll be a lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud this year.
If Diggs is him, how many hymns can there be? Is there one him?
I don't know.
Is there more than one him? I don't know. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson, mainly when the postseason rolls around. Tremendous pressure on him to lift his team.
Oh, your draft was so mid.
We're
it
done.
Was so mid.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.